covering this breastplate. I thought about what's covers here. Two things came to my mind, there's probably more. One is our heart. So as a Christian, what do I have a heart for? What is my desires for? And secondly, is the lungs. To take in, to breathe in the air and breathe it out, of course. But as a Christian, I want to breathe in the things of God. I want to breathe in the righteousness of God in my life. So, put on righteousness. So as we think about that, the first thing I want to suggest is, if you're filling out your outline, admit that all are unrighteous prior to salvation. Admit that all are unrighteous prior to salvation. As I read the scriptures, I notice that sometimes that's hard for people to accept. Sometimes we want to think, well, I got a little bit. I got to have a little righteousness before I get saved, before I meet Jesus. But I want you to notice these scriptures of this on your notes. It says, what then? Are we better than they? Talking about some others prior to this. Not at all. For we have charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. Now, is that true? Do you like that? No. The other scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if I'm to develop a relationship with God and understand righteousness or rightness with God or right life with God, I understand and admit that before I meet Jesus, I am unrighteous. It's not I'm unrighteous because I've done a bunch of stuff. I'm unrighteous because I do not have the righteous one of God living inside me. It's not based on the activities that I did or did not do, but what makes me unrighteous in God's eyes is that I know not His Son as Savior and Lord. And so that's, I need to admit then that not having Jesus makes me unrighteous. That means that even if I have what might be considered a good life, I may be a good neighbor, a good friend, a faithful employee, or all those kind of things. But if I don't have Jesus, I'm still unrighteous. I need to acknowledge that if I'm going to come and live under the righteousness of God. I don't go to the doctor until I need to go. And I don't go unless I think I need to go. What I'm saying is I don't come to God unless I realize I need Him. That there in my life there's a missing part of the righteousness of God in me. So, all of us need to be made righteous at some point. Now I'm grateful that God provided a way for that to be changed, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I want to suggest I start with admission that all of us, before we meet Jesus, are unrighteous. The second thing is, I need to seek a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Seek a hunger and thirst for righteousness, for right relationships. The scripture passage said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Some translations say they will be filled. Is this a promise? It's a promise made by Jesus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They'll discover what they're seeking for. Now, I want to pray that God will give me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. I think in the bottom of the heart of most individuals, if not every individual, there's a desire for a right relationship to God. They don't always know that. But they're seeking for something to satisfy the longing of their soul. They're looking for something that will give them peace and hope and those kind of things. And really what they're seeking and needing is the righteousness of God, a hunger and a thirst for God. What I thought about when I think about hungering and thirsting for righteousness in the Bible, a man by the name of Cornelius, you remember? Was he hungering and thirsting for righteousness? The Bible says he was a good man, but he needed Jesus. And God sent Peter to him to help him know what it meant to know Christ. But I believe that man had a hunger and a thirst to know God, to know Jesus. And God said, now, if you want to know Jesus, go send for Peter, bring him over, he'll tell you what to do. And so when we desire this hunger, this eagerness, God will bring us to understanding what it takes to be righteous and may even bring people into our life. But I want that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, when I think about that, does that apply to me? I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Do I still need a hunger for the righteousness of God? Do I need God to say to me, God, to help me in my spirit and in my soul, that I have a desire to be right with God, to be in fellowship with God, to be listening to God, to be obeying God, to be following God as a child of God, a hunger to do that? Not that I have to do that. Not that I'm obligated or somebody's watching me. But God has put into my soul this hunger, this thirst. I want to know Him. I want to be right with Him. I want to do things His way. Because when I think of righteousness, I think of right wiseness or right doing or right actions. I want to know that in my soul, I desire to do everything just like God wants me to do it. Now, where am I going to find out where He wants me to do that? How am I going to know what He wants and to ask God to cause me to hunger and thirst for that? I'm going to find it right here in the book. As I read it and I see what God says, and God says, be kind to one another, I say, God, help me be kind to one another. When I see that people need Jesus, I want to be a sharing of Jesus because that's part of what He wants me to do. And so as I hunger and thirst for righteousness, it's actually a hunger and thirst to do everything the way God said do it. Now, it takes us a lifetime to learn to do that. But I want to measure my life by what God says in His Word. I want to hunger and thirst to measure every action I take, every activity that I do, every attitude of my heart, to be in line with what God says in His Word that He wants me to do, and say, God, help me to have an hunger and a thirst and an eagerness to do exactly what You said, like You said, do it. And so I pray that we will hunger and thirst for the rightness of God, the right actions of God, the right activity of God. Now, we are well aware that if we are going to be righteous, we have to come to Jesus. The next thing on your outline is, come to Jesus for righteousness. Come to Jesus for righteousness. Because if we're going to be right with God, we have to know Jesus. I know many of us already believe this, but I want to remind us that everybody needs to know this truth about Jesus. If I'm to be righteous, I come to Jesus for righteousness. The first scripture passage says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteous God in Him. So when I desire to be right with God, I desire right actions with God, I desire this relationship with God, I understand the only way I'm going to get it is through Jesus. I have to come to Him and cry out to Him. And it's interesting, as Scripture talks about this, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteous of God. And when we think about our own activity, our own sin, we discover they don't work. Our own righteousness is not very good. In fact, let me read the passage. It's on the other side of your notes while I'm thinking about this. But what things are gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, in whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, righteousness which is of God by faith. The Scripture notes that my righteousness doesn't cut it. The Scripture indicates that no matter how good I get, no matter what quality of life I may have as a good neighbor, good friend, and a good moral character, and all those things, that my righteousness still doesn't measure up to the righteousness of God. Can you ever say, I'm as good as God? That's what we would say. If I'm going to get into heaven on my own righteousness, I'm saying I'm as good as God, and therefore God ought to accept me. I don't think any of us, if we're honest with ourselves, would ever say that. So therefore, if I'm to be righteous with God and right with God, I need someone who is as good as God. I need someone who measures up to the same standard that holy God is. That one is who? the Lord Jesus Christ. That one is Him. So when I think about that, this is awesome and wonderful at the same time. Notice what He said. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, ever became my sin and your sin on the cross. I find that an awesome thought. That Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, took all sin from beginning to end into Himself. I don't think I still fathom what that was like for the Son of God to take all the wrong attitudes, not just murders and adulteries, but little stuff, what we might call little stuff. He took it into Himself and He paid the price for it. My sin and your sin and everybody else's. What an awesome thing that He did. He became my sin. And we're well aware that as when He was on the cross, He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt all alone because God can't look on sin. Now, the only way we get right with God is that we come to Jesus Christ who already took our sin into Himself, paid the penalty for the sin, because the wages of sin is what? Death. Jesus Christ took our sin into Himself on that cross, died for us in our place, and then He credits His righteousness to us. This is hard sometimes for people to believe and to think about. Without Jesus, I am totally unrighteous. But when I accept Jesus, does Jesus come and live inside me? When I think of Jesus Christ, who comes to live within us when He forgives us of our sin, and we confess that, and He comes to live within us, how righteous is Jesus? So when the righteous one, who is wholly righteous, forgives us of our sin and comes to live within us, He credits us with His righteousness, which is 100% righteous. That doesn't mean we ought to live that out. We've got to live that out. But in the spirit realm, I'm righteous as Jesus is. Now, that's hard to fathom. But Jesus Christ is the one who does it. I don't do it. I don't do it because I do a lot of good stuff and behave right and read the Bible right and go to church right and all those things. I'm not righteous because of all those things. I may do them because I am, but not to get there. And so I come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need You, and I ask You to come into my life. And I come to place my faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord to make me righteous and to help me live righteous. I'm grateful He didn't say, now you got to be righteous. And then He sat down on the throne of heaven and said, okay, now it's yours. You've got to live the rest of it by yourself. I made you righteous. I saved you. Now it's up to you to live it out. Thank You, Lord, You didn't do that. He said, I'll help you live it out. I send my Holy Spirit to help you live it out. I send You the Word to help you live it out. I send You God's people together to help you live that out. Through faith in Christ, I become that way. The other passage on the side of your notes that I didn't read yet says, but to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Of course, a lot of in Romans 4 and some other passages, a lot of talk about righteousness, which we don't have time to explore altogether. But notice what he said. If you believe in Christ, you trust Jesus, what does he say? Your faith is what? Credited as righteousness. Not your earning, not your activity, but the faith in what Jesus Christ has done. And so I celebrate the fact that because of who he is, and because I come to Him for that righteousness, I recognize that if there's any righteousness coming out of me, it's because I'm walking with Him and trusting Him to work through me to produce the kind of actions and attitudes that are in harmony with who He is and what He does. And so I'm thankful for that. I know I'm not really moonshining here, so. Some of you don't know I'm from Kentucky, but anyway. Now, I want to think about this for a minute. If you're righteous in Jesus, and other people around you have met Jesus and been born again, are they righteous too? So what am my relationship going to be when I recognize I'm talking to and I'm working with another righteous person? To me, that's an awesome reminder that I treat you because you are righteous in Jesus and I'm righteous in Jesus. I'm going to treat you with respect and honor and with dignity because you are righteous too. Does that affect the way I'm going to relate to you, the attitudes I'm going to have? When I realize, I look around this room, there's a room full, as far as I know, of righteous people. What's my attitude going to be when I look and see you're righteous, you're righteous, you're righteous? It's going to change my concept and how I relate to you and how I respond to you. And so I need to say, I was thinking this when I didn't do it, when I came this morning, I'm going to say good morning, righteous person. What if we started saying to each other, good morning, righteous person? Now, if you're, since you're that way in Christ, does that cause you to want to behave that way in Christ? You know who you are, therefore you want to be who you are. I think we need to encourage one another. I came in this morning with that reminder, this scripture passage, and looking at you, you're righteous, you're righteous, you're righteous, you're a righteous person. And I respect you, I honor you as a fellow righteous person because Jesus Christ lives in you, each of you, and He is in you in His power and His fullness. And I want to honor Him who lives in you by treating you with respect and righteous actions. So just think about that. I think it'll help us. The next thing I want to think of is seek God's righteousness as a priority. Seek God's righteousness as a priority. I want to be first in my life. Jesus said, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Familiar scriptures. Is my first priority to be in line with what God wants for this day? What I'm suggesting is when I get up in the morning, I want to say, dear Lord, I want to walk in righteousness today, and the first thing I want to do is do what you tell me to do today, and I'm committing my life this day, this morning, to walk with you, to do what I know to be right, to follow what I understand from Scripture to be right, and I'm going to walk in your righteousness today. Will that change my life? Now, I know some of us don't have our daily devotions in the morning because some of us are not morning people. Some of us are evening people. But can you get up whenever you get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm a righteous person. Help me to walk with you in every aspect of this day, every activity I'm going to do, every place I'm going to go, every person I'm going to meet, whatever I'm going to do, God, help me to do it your way today. To me, walking righteous means I do it the way God said do it, in the right way as God says it. So I'm saying, God, make this a priority in my life. Will that improve your quality of life any? It'll make a difference. Does it mean that everything's going to go 100% smooth? No. He didn't promise that. But if we trust Him in the midst of that, He who lives in us, to work through those problems, we'll find victory and we'll discover His grace and His power at work in the midst of those things, and we'll discover Him doing things His way and helping us to respond to those issues and those problems in the way He wants us to respond, with grace and love and faith and hope, and still deal with those in a way that brings honor to Him. So I'm saying, God, help me that when I begin every day and throughout the day to say, God, I want to make pleasing you, honoring you, your righteousness a priority of my life. Because the Scripture says that if we seek Him, if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, what does He say? I'm seeking to please Him, to walk with Him, and to obey Him. What does it say about everything else? It's going to come. It'd be under proper perspective. See, sometimes I get wrapped up in this other stuff and I miss out on the key issue, which is walking with Him and obeying Him, from which comes all the other stuff in the way He wants it to come. And so I'm saying, God, help me each day to say, I want Your righteousness in my life, Your righteousness in my relationship, my attitude, my thought life be under Your control. One of the things that I pray for, and all of us hope pray for, is that the Scripture talks about in Corinthians that we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That I think like He thinks. That I ask Him to control those attitudes. And I'm going to do that, of course, as I put the Word in my heart and begin to practice that. I wanted to put number one. Some of you remember a long time ago, Tom Landry was a coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Here's something he said. The thrill of knowing Jesus is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I think God has put in me a very special place, put me in a very special place, and expects me to use it for His glory in everything I do. Whether coaching football or talking to the press, I'm always a Christian. Christ is first, family second, and football third. May He have that priority. The last thing on your notes, make righteous living my defense. Now, what I'm coming to think about is this. This putting on the breastplate of righteousness is a part of the Christian armor to be able to be strong and to have victory in the midst of an enemy. Now, when you began this chapter in Ephesians 6, and in this whole section of Scripture, what does Scripture say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and dark forces. And do you think you and I are going to win against those in our own strength? We need the full armor of God because we deal with them. I forget that I have an enemy. But I do. And that enemy wants to put me down and defeat me, not because I'm so important, but he wants to get a black mark against God. So, I want to make righteous living my defense. I need to recognize this is my part of my life. So, because I am forgiven and righteous, then I want to practice righteousness. Not to get there, but to practice that. So, whenever the Word tells me that I'm to be kind, I'll be kind. When the Word tells me I'm to seek Him first, I'm going to seek Him first. When He tells me that I'm to be sharing Him with other people, I'm going to do that. When He tells me that I'm to have a positive attitude toward people, when He tells me I'm not to be critical, I'm not going to be critical. And I start trying to live that. Why? What I'm suggesting is because we face an enemy who wants to undo us, the righteousness of God is our protection against him. If I'm walking with Christ and seeking to follow, and I recognize we don't know him perfectly, okay? But if I'm walking with Jesus, does he provide a protection for me? Does he cause me to be alert that this is an enemy? Does he cause me to realize, wait a minute, this is not where I want to go? And because of that right living, it becomes my defense against the attack of the enemy. Because I know I'm right with God. I know I'm in fellowship with Him. I know that I belong to Him. And because of that, I can say, bring it on, enemy. You're not going to get through my defense. Now, I'm not saying you go looking for problems, okay? Most of us get enough without looking for them. But I'm saying that when I'm attacked, does he ever pop up to you with a temptation? Does he ever pop up to you? You're right in the middle of trying to pray or whatever, and being, there comes this. Where did that come from? You know it didn't belong. You need to defense it. Wait a minute. No, Lord, that's not me. That's not who I am because I'm a child of God. I'm redeemed, and that thought doesn't belong here anymore. So, Lord, I'm rejecting that, and you take it out of my mind because it don't belong here. I'm a child of God. It's my defense. Then I can stand strong for the Lord. And if we fail, there is forgiveness. I understand that, but I want to have the strength in the first place. I'd rather not have to get forgiveness. I'd rather stand firm in the first place as much as I can by God's grace. Let me share with you the last passage and what I'm trying to think about. This is related, of course, in the life of Daniel in the Old Testament. And if you remember, Daniel was a captive in that city and under the king and so on. Daniel and his friends became outstanding leaders in that government. And they didn't like it. The other people didn't like it. Let me read this part, though. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. These men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him in regard to the law of his God." That kind of living is our defense. Did you get that? They were watching him. They were looking for loopholes. They were looking for a chance to accuse Daniel of something so they can get rid of him. And what does it say in Scripture? They couldn't find a thing against him except his faith in God, and so they had to attack him on his faith. Even that didn't work, by the way. May God help each of us to put into our life and to walk under the direction of God's Holy Spirit, living as godly as we can by His grace in the righteousness of God, so that if people attack us, the only place they can find it is in the fact that we stand for faith and right in Jesus. Because He is our defense. A quality life is kind of hard to be dealt with otherwise. In fact, some scriptures talk about the fact that we want to live in such a way that those who oppose us discover that what we stand for is right and choose to it. I'm convinced that in our world today, when people attack Christianity and Christian faith and Christian principles, they say they don't want us to oppose them, and I think down deep they do. I think down deep they respect men and women who stand for Jesus in integrity and in honesty, no matter what. They may not always agree with you, but they respect you. And so I'm saying, God, help me to so live in the righteousness of God, in this right relationship with God, through the Word, through obeying what God says, through putting into my life each thing. Every time I read something and God says it in His Word, God, help me do that. God, help me do that. God, help me do that. And I begin to live this right relationship with God, this righteous life. So when someone comes against me, the only place they can get through is to talk about my faith, my stand, my integrity. Does that mean we're perfect? No. Does that mean we don't ever sin? No. But it means when we do sin, we get it straightened up pretty soon and get back to right with the Lord. We don't let it go. But it means I don't depend on my own righteousness. I'm not depending on how good I am. I'm depending on how good the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved my soul and lives in me, how good He is and His righteousness. He is my defense. He is the one I trust. And I believe that when I do that, I'm putting on the breastplate of the righteousness of Christ, that I can stand firm and true and right as a good testimony for Jesus. When I'm attacked, I can stand strong because I have on the righteousness of God, and I know that I'm in Him and He is in me. So my prayer is that we will put on the breastplate of righteousness of Jesus and go home today and say, "I'm righteous." Now, the enemy didn't want you to say that. And you sometimes have trouble saying that. You recognize, you say, "Because of Jesus, I'm righteous." Not because I've earned it. Not because I've achieved it. But you need to leave here today saying, "I'm a righteous child of God." You are. Whether you accept it or not, if you're a child of God, is not He right in you, and does not He make you righteous? He does. So then you go out to live that way because that's who you are. Because I believe the devil comes to Christians and says, "Oh, you can't say you're righteous because that means somebody thinks you're egotistic or he thinks you're some kind of special." No. If I'm righteous, it's by grace of the living God who saved my soul, not because I've achieved anything. Thank you, Lord, for grace. And for your righteousness in me. Let's bow together. If you don't know Jesus, you are unrighteous. Not because you're a bad person, but because you don't know Him. And I pray that today would be the day when you say, "Dear Jesus, I don't know You. I know about You. But I want You to come and live in my life and make me a new creation in Christ. I receive the Jesus who died for me to come and be my Lord, my Savior, and my King." Second, as believers, would you say, "Lord, thank You for making me righteous and help me to live that way." If in your spirit, God says this is in your life and it's not a righteous activity or a righteous attitude, would you say, "Lord, take this out of my life"? Would You change this to line me back up with who You are? And He'll do it. And He'll give you victory. Dear Lord, thank You that You know all of our hearts. You look inside every one of us today and You know what's happening as we come to this moment of decision and conclusion. Lord, may every soul know Jesus before they leave here today. And Lord, may You search our hearts who belong to You. Help us to see how You see us, that we are redeemed, forgiven, and then see anything that's out of line with that in our own hearts and bring it back to You. Let You change it. We commit these moments to You, Lord, because it's Your service and it's Your Spirit that does the speaking and the drawing. We believe You to do that today in Jesus' name. Amen.